And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Oh, hello, Wolfman Jack for
you.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
And the great thing is, we don't have to pay ASCAP anything.
Nope, not for that one. 513 podcast episodes in. We did it, y'all!
Here we are.
Lance, big shout out to you, brother, because I know you were waiting for this.
It's the big... Yes,
he called to tell us.
He counts them. He does.
He called to tell us.
Jenny Smythe is our guest. She is an expert on numbers and joins us to talk about numbers. What's your favorite number?
Know how to answer that.
What do you mean? You don't have a favorite
have a
number?
Favorite
Everybody's
number?
Got a favorite number.
I really don't. I really, like, we had this discussion when we were talking about the kids and what number they wanted to be for sports.
Yeah.
And my husband was super passionate about the kids being number 12 because he played number 12 and his dad played number 12.
Yeah.
And I played competitive sports, but I think I had a different number every time because I was
you
like,
you just took whatever they gave you.
Really? I don't care. You weren't attached to it. No
what?
Kidding.
That's weird. No. I've always been number 2 or number 5 or number 39.
Also, you like to talk about number 2, so that works out really well.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Uncrustables. I can't. Like, I'll never be able to look at them ever
yeah,
again.
Yeah, me too. I saw them in the grocery store the other day. I'd never buy them, and I continue to not buy them.
A friend of mine sent me a video of Uncrustables. Just because she's now got it in her head every time she goes by that section.
You wouldn't believe something that I only did for 1 week would have that kind of impact on people.
It had a real what kind of impact did it have on our socials?
We got like probably close to 2 million views across all socials.
Because of the Uncrustables.
Because of the Uncrustables.
I took one for the team.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And that's what Jenny does. She has a new book out. That's called Becoming Gorilla. The name of her company is called Gorilla, Gorilla Marketing.
And but it's not spelled the way you think.
It's like a girl, like girls. And it's all girls who work there.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about...
No.
Not once?
No. I know this question.
Are you about to ask about, have you ever thought about hiring a guy?
I have. I've had one.
You did?
It didn't work.
Oh.
Why didn't... What kind of guy was he? Was he like us?
Was he a dude no. or...
More like Garrett.
He was creative.
What am I?
Garrett's
he was
very
creative.
Creative guy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And so it was just like infighting?
It wasn't infighting. It just didn't operate the way it normally would.
Did you find that your other employees couldn't be themselves around him?
Somewhat. I feel like our version of locker room talk is definitely the bar's pretty high.
Yes.
So
y'all do that.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just called being human and real.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
What's in y'all's locker room?
Oh, gosh. We have a very organized bathroom, if it's any consolation.
No, I mean, what do y'all talk about? Is that what you meant? Are you deflecting? What are you doing?
Probably both. Well, I think it's just a matter of everyday life stuff. I think that when you have 12 females that are we share a bathroom in our house, you know, across the street.
It's an old redone. It's beautiful inside.
Yeah.
It's
there's technically two bathrooms.
I wouldn't know.
One's,
I haven't been by.
We know, Bubba.
I need to go.
So annoying.
I'm going to go.
The upstairs bathroom has a squatty potty.
Oh, I can go.
Bubba has one.
I love my squatty
potty. He also has a Big John.
Oh,
well,
I don't know what that is.
A Big John is it's an oversized toilet seat. You can literally search it. It's Big John toilet seat, and it's amazing. Yeah.
You're in our locker room now.
This is a nightmare for me.
No,
remember, we shared a bathroom at one point.
Yes.
Yes, we did. So, I mean, we didn't share. We had to walk through the door, and then there was a woman's, and then there was
You're a tiny
man's.
Person, so you don't have to worry about what I'm about to say. Anyone bigger has snapped a toilet seat at least once in their life. I've snapped 2. I know you've done it, Big D.
Everybody
bigger has snapped a toilet seat. And you're like, what? It happens. Those little bumpers.
They don't make
on
them like
bottom,
they used to.
Yeah, they just don't. So the Big John is rated to 1,200 pounds. 1200. It won't snap. It's the greatest thing ever, and it's oversized. Oversized. So the little thing that you sit on, the seat itself, is wider. It's like that wide. So you actually, it's nice. It takes all the pressure off your legs.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, Big John.
Fascinating.
For big
you
people.
Don't need it. So
all she said
you
was,
you don't need
okay
it.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. You just got K'd. Okay.
Okay.
Nothing new.
So back to you. So you have one bathroom and all the girls, how many? 12?
Yeah.
Like the apostles.
And then we usually have, yes.
What's that? What's that
we
mean?
Have interns. We have purpose? Freelancers. It really wasn't. Okay. No. It really wasn't.
And so you have freelancers that come in and what now?
Yeah, and interns and clients are in and out of there all the time. So
okay,
it's
well, so what are you girls, Carson, what are y'all talking about in this locker room, this girls' locker room that Jenny speaks of?
It could be anything from the latest celebrity gossip to something that maybe irritates us about significant others or something we find really sexy in our partners. Like it can range the gamut, I think.
And does it have to be partners, or are you guys just talking about regular
oh no,
like,
I'll just
people
talk about dudes.
Like I ran across this guy at the restaurant the other day, blah 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 blah, and he did this and it was so ew.
There's a lot of stories that happen based on age too. You know, there's single people in the office, there's people that are in committed relationships or newly married, and then there's like the old ladies like me who've been married for a while or a couple times. And so somebody will go on a date and then they'll come in and they'll tell us about the date and then we dissect that date. And then of course, I mean, I have been known, there has been a whiteboard where I put a Venn diagram up where I was like, this is where you are and this is where he is and this is where you, if you want to meet in the middle, this is what you have to do.
Wow, you Venn diagrammed someone.
What a great service.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing the Lord's work. You are.
Back
to, I need so to go is, buy
it,
your own.
So it is on purpose.
A little bit.
A little bit, I get you.
But we also have great snacks, and nobody gets judged.
What kind of snacks do you have?
I just ate some nerd clusters before I got here.
Okay.
What's a nerd cluster?
What?
Wow.
It's literally the most superior candy on the market.
Because I like nerds.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, it's a nerd cluster, so it's a bunch of nerds that are stuck together with some kind of chemical that's
like a
delicious.
Goo. It's like a goo, it's like a delicious goo.
I'll bring you some.
If you've had a nerd's rope, it's basically like a bunch of ropes.
I've not had a nerd's rope either. I mean, I'm OG. I go nerds.
And you claim you love nerds.
I do like nerds. I haven't had nerds in 15 years, probably.
Yeah. Do you remember when they came in the sliding thing?
Yeah, the box where you had the different sides.
And the two flavors.
The different
sides. They don't do that anymore?
Yeah. I don't know. We recently, and even through my kids and stuff, we get like the little individual ones. So they never had to do the battle of like your watermelon got in your apple.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like what?
Yeah.
Outraged.
That was really smart of them, though, to do that. You know, the box where it was half and half like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was way ahead of its time. And it also was nice because you could share and you could choose which one to share. You're like, oh, here, you get the watermelon because it's not my favorite.
Nobody likes it. I mean, it's fine.
So Jenny's company, they do social media and marketing for celebrities from music to acting, models, others, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
You get Brooke Shields' number. Hey, can we call Brooke right now?
No.
Is there anyone on your list that we could call?
You could call Tracy.
We can call Tracy.
Yeah, no.
Tracy Lawrence.
No.
Other than the Tracy Lawrence, we can't call anyone else.
No.
Willie Nelson.
No.
Have you ever called Willie Nelson?
No.
Lucas, have you called his son?
Yes.
Hey, what's he like?
He's great.
Isn't he?
Super funny. He had internet shenanigans this week that made me laugh harder than I've laughed in 5 years.
What happened?
Can we hear about it?
Yeah. I mean, so his manager, Katie Kramer, who's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life, period, and Conley Sweeney, who works in my office, who's head of the project, they're always like, there's 1,000 text messages about what's happening, you know, whatever. But we're in serious, like, album release mode. But Lucas gets a lot of people hitting on him. And, you know, of course, I mean, he's a good-looking guy. He's nice. He's got
the pedigree, all of that, yeah.
He's just a good human being, you know? But he basically got a DM that was about his feet.
Oh yeah,
somebody okay. wanting feet pics.
And he's
wait, there are women that are into feet pics.
There's just it's so multi-layered and it's so gross. But I'll just I mean this, but he screenshotted it and put it up on a story and said, "I would never do this." But also wears the lotion, kind of like implying that like maybe he could make some extra money on right. on OF or whatever. And they shadow banned him. Like the night before the song comes out. Like the night
you need the most impact whatsoever. Yeah. He's now been shadow banned because they think he's an OnlyFans yeah. model.
What shadow ban? Help me out.
It's basically putting you in digital detention for...
So like... Meta does, Instagram yeah. does, whoever.
But here's the thing, again, multi-layered, but a lot of artists will say to us, oh, I got shadow banned when like one of their posts doesn't perform very well. And we're like, you did.
Okay,
you're fine.
You. Yeah.
But in this case, we're like, oh my gosh, you did. And so we were able to clear it up. But the irony of all ironies.
But clear it up. You called whoever it was.
Yeah. And like, you know, this isn't.
You have a number, like, that's awesome, like, because all of us are like, yeah. man, I wish I could just tell somebody at X to, you know, take the whatever off or do whatever.
I mean, you have to have the documentation.
Yeah.
And but we do have contacts.
See, that's cool.
Are you aware that he has, that he's on WikiFeet?
I don't even want to know.
I'm looking
who's
at
on WikiFeet.
Here's
Lucas's. Lucas
here's what
not
I,
that he did it.
What
I'm
is
saying
WikiFeet.
Listen, it's men.wikifeet.com/Lucas_Nelson.
Why are you on that website? Like, what did you just search that and it popped up?
Yeah, that's how Google
interesting.
Works.
Yeah,
I started to type and then I went, what am I doing? I don't. Had this in my algorithm. Listen.
So there's lots of pictures of him. He doesn't wear shoes on stage a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of feet. Pictures of just him on stage. So that's the first, I don't know, 25 or so. Then he has, okay, so he has a move where he has no shoes on stage and he's playing guitar and he bends over backwards and someone gets underneath and he kind of uses him as support. And so he looks like the letter N, like a bent over, and that shows off his feet and people like that. He also texts him this right now, Jenny. He posts lots of pictures of his feet when he's on vacation.
Okay, listen.
Lots.
There's nothing. Let's.
I'm just saying.
Here's the point of this, though.
He's golfing and he has his shoes off and he took a picture of it.
That sounds right. But here's my thing. Why wouldn't the platform punish the person that's basically soliciting any kind of bad behavior? Like,
yeah,
why is it that then somebody who out of good humor is like, hey, I'm actually being harassed, and then puts it out there, like, you know, in a way that we're supposed to be like grateful when people say like, hey, these are the kind of creepy DMs that I get, you know, just so you guys know, those don't ever get taken down. Those people don't ever get banned.
Like in the NFL, whenever somebody starts a fight, it's whoever swings back that gets in trouble always.
Right.
Huh.
So that's just an interesting, I mean, but I did have, I just was like, man, the timing was so crazy. But
did it affect anything that was?
I don't think so at the end of the day. I mean, it's not.
How do
know?
People get the biggest, like, do you have like tricks or like, if you really want to, like, it's kind of a cheat. You're only going to get you can only use it once or twice.
Can we say it here?
And like, here's if you really wanted like a little pop.
Okay, listen. There's really only one way to do it.
Okay.
And it is to be consistent. That's the only way. People talk about the algorithm all the time. They're like, oh, if I could just hit the algorithm, if I could just do this, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you get it, you will occasionally have something that goes viral, and that's amazing. Cool. Great.
That's more just luck.
It's luck.
It's so like, weird too, because mm-hmm. like the same video could blow up on, and I know Garrett will tell, he gives us numbers all the time. He'll say, oh yeah, we had a good pop on whatever, and okay, well, how did that do on X? Well, it didn't do anything. How did it do on Instagram? Didn't do anything.
Right.
Vice versa. You have another video that blows up on TikTok that is, you know, huge on one of the, it's just so weird the way everything yeah. is different. Like all the algorithms and the luck, if you want to call it, doesn't talk to each other.
Super unpredictable. And like, that's what makes it hard as a marketing person, because you can't really count on a baseline, you know? And then what do you do when you have something that goes viral? How do you capitalize on that? What's your next move? That's always the hardest thing, because people think that once they've had something go viral, that now everything needs to live up to that moment. And it's just not possible. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy to think like that. But what's even more interesting right now for me is to watch things that retroactively go viral again, you know, especially with somebody's sound. So like, they might have posted a video 3 years ago, and then somebody takes the audio from that and reposts it with their creative on top of it, and then it opens everything back up again. So yeah, that's pretty fun.
So in the book, do you kind of get into a lot of that? I knew you gave me a book. I didn't read it.
I know. I'm not sure you can read.
I'm not sure you can read.
It's got big type and everything. Yeah. It's nice.
There's no pictures.
So it doesn't have, I really thought there was going to be pictures. Did you think about, well, maybe we should put, why didn't you put pictures?
I don't think it needed it.
Does it cost more to put pictures in a book?
It probably does. It probably does.
Like some kind of special way to do it. You could have done like lithographs, like they used to do like in the old ancient Bibles.
Yeah. Well, you got to get a Gutenberg press.
Well, yes. I also think like some of the stuff that I really dive into happened in the 90s and the 2000s. And we don't have pictures. Mm-mm. Like our job was to be invisible. Our job was to be behind the scenes. In fact, like we were told, you know, don't say what you do, right? Like, because people were supposed to be doing all of this themselves.
Oh, right.
So
now it's kind of like everyone knows that Lucas Nelson doesn't do his own.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you know.
But do some of them
do? It's a collaborative. Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, like, Lucas is actually a pretty active on it on his own.
I see the feed.
Yeah. I mean, there's things, obviously, we can't do. But it's like, when it comes to promotional stuff and, like, figuring out the strategy for the major life.
All right, here's what bothers me sometimes. Yep. If I see something and it's like Clint Black.
Okay.
And Clint says, or his thing says, hey, Clint is going to be at, it yeah. bothers me.
Third person is the worst.
So yeah, so, but why do they still do that?
I think that there is still a lingering philosophy that if they're not the person that's physically typing and deploying, that it's not them, and they don't want to pretend that it's them. Like it's almost like a protection.
Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to be at so-and-so casino on Thursday. Hope to see you.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, which to me seems much more personable anyway.
Yeah.
Then, hey, coming from, let's say, Clint Black, mm-hmm. coming from his personal account, if it says Clint is going to be somewhere, it just feels
weird.
But isn't there a better way of saying, where, like, advertising a show than, hey, I'm going to be at such and such? Is there a better, more?
Yes, there is it is difficult to, when you have somebody that has, like, a robust touring situation that has, at any given time, maybe 25 or 30 dates being announced, all each have the same artwork, and it's the venue and the date. Like,
that's all that changes. Yeah.
How do you do that? You know? And you can't necessarily do something for one venue that you wouldn't be willing to do for another, because then it's kind of like radio, right? Like, if we used to do all those station liners or whatever, and if you left somebody out, you know, then you get that call.
Yeah, if you call Chicago to do an interview with somebody there because you're coming, but you're not going to do the same for Miami,
right?
That somebody's going to get mad. Yeah. And now it's in the social media world. It's just
early Facebook. Remember, you used to be able to do targeted posts, which was awesome, because I could do something just specifically for Baton Rouge,
right?
Or I could do something specifically for my hometown, or I could do Key West or whatever, and it was so cool because you had amazing abilities to really hyper target certain places for those shows.
Right.
They took that away.
Well, I think you can do it in ads.
You have to
too.
Buy that ability now. Like, and that's wonky to me. I'm like, why make me pay for something that I was able to do for 5 years for free?
Well, and I also think you got to think about it from how the bigger picture looks, is that if, even though it's a good tool for us, at the end of the day, by putting up those pieces of content that are geo-targeted, that don't perform very well, you bring your overall reach and engagement down for the page, and then people are like, what's going on? You know, so there's a lot of pressure from an artist standpoint to deliver individual pieces of communication to people or venues or whatever. But at the end of the day, then if they're also judged by their engagement and their reach.
So if you do the geo-targeted stuff, it affects your overall number.
It can.
And it makes it look like people don't care about you because you only got 1,000 interactions compared to 50,000.
Right. Which is why I do.
Even though, can't they look at it and go, well, there's a reason why.
No, because they don't. Because that would require the extra step, and we don't do that. But like what Big D was saying, I think he was getting ready to ask me, do you kind of dispel some of these things? I do. And there are moments in the book where I'm like, look, you got to ignore the analytics. Like you have to be strong enough to say, this is what's right for me. This is what's right for the people that follow me. This also not just like celebrities. It's like, this is what I want to do for my kids. This is how I want to communicate within my community. You know, all the right things. Like you can't just be a follower.
Would you ever take up clients like a sideline of people who are, you know, a stay-at-home mom who does videos of what she makes her husband for breakfast before he goes to work? Or the lady who, like I follow, she's this older lady in Alabama. Her name's Karen, and she cooks. And
what? Of course her name's Karen.
It is Karen. And she cooks and just says, hey, y'all, I'm just going to make some stuff here, and here's this stuff, and I'm making biscuits and that kind of thing. And she's growing, like, on her own.
Gangbusters.
It's surprising. Is there a market for your company to wrangle all them together and help them all with and take a little cut of it?
There are companies that do that are influencer agencies. That's what they do. It's not something I want. For me, I look at influencers and content creators as two totally different situations. And, you know, historically speaking, a lot of the people that are in the influencer world are just kind of vapid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I always give the analogy like, oh, let me insert product here, but be like, hey, sis, you're never going to believe this thing here has changed my life. I got to put you on it. And I'm like, done.
My dad's one of the best nutritionists in the state.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We did those clips where it was literally, my dad is the most, and it was 50 people saying the exact same script.
Exactly. And so, but Karen from Alabama, who's just like making food for her family and being who she is, that's what makes her awesome.
Yeah, authentic.
And that's the thing is like, yes, there are ways to sort of corral those personalities and to amplify them. But at the end of the day, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the internet. Like, I think it's awesome that you can have a digital economy. Like, you can make a living at being who you are. It's just, you know, how many times have we seen this? Like, people that we follow and we love, and then all of a sudden they get so much notoriety. They get the product endorsements. They get all the things, and then they become less impactful.
Because you feel like they sold out kind of thing.
Yeah, but you also, like, from a marketing standpoint, I don't blame them, but I do myself value the people that say no to stuff more often than they say yes.
There's like a guy I follow who he's a nutritionist, and he sent products, and he did one yesterday. He said, hey, this company sent me this drink, wanted to do a partnership. He goes, and he shows the thing, and he goes, it doesn't taste good.
Right.
He said, I love your macros, but I appreciate what you're trying to do, but this doesn't work. And that makes me want to keep him.
Makes you trust him, though.
Absolutely.
What if he were honest and says, you know, this is really nutritious and all that, but I'm going to be honest, it's not the best tasting, but at least it's really good for you, and I really enjoy what it puts into my body. I mean, what if he were honest about it not being the best tasting, but it was the most effective?
But still got paid.
And like that way,
if he was upfront with it, sure, but I do appreciate that he said, no, the macros are great, but I don't like the flavor. So that right there, anytime he recommends anything, that he'll do food swaps, use this Greek yogurt versus that one, because, hey, this one's a little cheaper, but the macros are basically the same. I don't know. For all I know, he's being sponsored by them.
But you trust him.
But I trust him because of that.
Right.
You've built up that level of
A little honesty.
The believability for me, just because I do think he can make money doing that. He could have made money off that product, and he chose not to. There's integrity in that, and as much as I'm doom scrolling on social media too, I like to think myself better, and I appreciate the integrity. But he did. He fed into somebody like me who is going to consistently go back and watch him for food recs.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, have you ever seen her, Carson, do her home shopping network or whatever stuff? Do a presentation for Diet Coke.
Let's do it.
All right.
Watch how great she is.
Oh, my God.
I love how Carson goes, oh, no, don't. And then she's like, okay, here we go.
Okay, well, I'll grab it. So Diet Coke, it's a brand you know. And you trust, and you just love it for the taste of it. That's what they've been telling us for 40 years. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But 16 ounces of happiness right here. Effervescent on my tongue. And the reason...
it's really good. I'm
ready
for
Diet
Coke.
You know, get your free shipping and then buy multiple because you know you're going to drink it. Me, I don't need coffee. Diet Coke is what gets me going every morning. And it doesn't keep me up at night. I know Bubba has a problem with caffeine. Maybe it's because you're drinking coffee. Maybe you should be switching, Bubba.
Wow, see what I mean?
You know what my favorite part is, though? It's this. It's the tapping. It's the nail.
Oh, I watch QVC.
And it's the facial expression over everything.
It's the smile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, who is Yardley Smith?
She's Lisa Simpson.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. I'm on your website looking at your clients.
So you could call Lisa Simpson right now?
Tell me she's great.
Super great.
Yeah.
Super smart.
What video was I watching? She popped up for me the other day.
Yeah. She's killing it.
Yeah. She's I was like, I don't know. I was like, okay, Lisa Simpson.
Yeah.
So does she come up with the ideas to post things or do you?
Yeah, both. I mean, collaborative, but she's also like, you know, just able to concentrate on it now. And she has like.
Why now? Because you're helping her? You mean?
Yeah. But it's also just like having somebody to bounce ideas off of and to say like, you know, hey, this is happening on the internet right now. This would be really funny for Lisa Simpson to react to. Like, and just to be able to call somebody and make that happen it's just like a production.
When you're talking to her, does she ever go into it?
No, but her voice is super distinct anyway. So when you're speaking to her normally,
it sounds.
It does. Yeah. There's
just like
parts
Nancy
of it.
Cartwright. Right. Sounds just like Bart Simpson when you talk to her.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But Yardley has her own very successful production company. Like, they're putting out, you know, a ton of original content that. I mean, just from a writing and a production standpoint, like, she's a force.
Do you have some clients that you reach out to them and they're like, hey, can you do a video on your phone and send it to us where you're going into a whatever?
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm not doing that.
I think there's always some trepidation when somebody doesn't feel confident in what they're doing, right? And sometimes it's hard because you're telling somebody an idea that they have to trust the process on. So like them recording a raw asset without really understanding what it's going to look like until it's edited and there's text on it and there's the sound behind it and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's, and by the way, nothing ever works out always. Like, we spend hours and hours and hours. As you guys know, making these videos is actually, you know, I'm not saying it's like, hard work as in like feel sorry for me. It's just like labor intensive.
No, it is hard work.
It's very hard work. I mean, we've been doing it for decades, but it wasn't video. It was audio.
Right.
And you never know what's going to hit.
No.
I mean, one of the bigger things in the last year, dumbest thing ever. What's your dragon? Who name your dragon? What's your dragon?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that was going to be a
thing? I know.
It blew up.
And strawberry Nesquik.
Yeah.
That's been big too.
So gross. Can't do it.
What?
I can't.
No, not the liquid. You got to do the powder.
No. Back in the day.
Absolutely not.
Oh, you're missing out.
So you and the girls will sit, you and your apostles will sit at your lair there at Guerrilla Marketing LLC Corporation. And you guys come up and go, okay, Terry Crews, what you got?
We look at everybody's schedule. We see what's going on. We try to balance that with things that make sense in terms of trends or sounds or timeliness, you know, anniversary stuff, like, especially for people
that
have.
It's a lot to keep up with.
So yeah, Terry's one of your people, too?
Yeah.
I love Terry Crews.
Yeah.
I listen to him, you know, when he talks about his marriage and all that kind of stuff. I've listened to him talk about all that. I'm like, that's a lot of honesty. Like, you can't hurt him because he's already put everything out there. And he said, look, here's where I messed up. Here's where I've done some really dumb things. Here's where I screwed up. And He's really good. I don't know if I'd have to go find the podcast.
Nobody outworks him.
Really?
Nobody.
Well, it looks like nobody outworks him in the gym, too.
I mean, it is, and he's so kind, and he is always, he says yes more than he says no, and he is regimented. I mean, that's the, I mean, you see the discipline. So it's like, just imagine that gets applied to every aspect of his life that we are a part of.
And he's President Camacho.
I mean, you know what?
Never live that one down, because that's maybe the greatest role he's ever, and I love him and everything he's done.
I know.
But that role, he's perfect.
And he loves it. Like, he went to, I want to say it was 2 years ago, they kind of reinvigorated the role for a South by Southwest activation. And so just getting on the phone, and we weren't a part of Idiocracy, like, when it came out, but right. It was a hugely influential movie for me personally. And yeah. I feel like we live in it now, but that's another podcast. But having him kind of come back at the role and like listening to him brainstorm about how he could do it on the ground in Austin and what we can do online, it's just a different level. It's like the brain, his brain just works in a different way.
You ever have any emergencies, like drama, like PR emergencies, and they call you and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Jenny, what, give
anything
us,
can we can
give us
talk
one?
About?
No.
Okay, can I ask you a brand question?
Yeah.
So when you have folks that are partnering with a brand and, you know, it's an ad and you... If I click that link specifically from their Instagram, from their TikTok, does it show the company that I went and bought this because it was on theirs?
It can if it's an affiliate link.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I just, like, my favorite actress is doing a hair care thing,
right.
And I'll buy anything she sells. So I
sure.
was like, but I want to make sure that they know
yeah.
that I'm buying it because of her.
It
so
would,
if I just, if that link
it
should
means
be.
Means more if you click from the link from the content.
That's what I wanted
or,
to make sure.
Or from the bio or whatever.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that she's getting the credit. This is why I'm trying your $30 hair
yes.
oil.
And also, like, leaving comments and reviews about products is really helpful.
Okay.
It's really helpful. Like, that's the thing, is we get, you know, so many people that watch content or look at it but don't interact with it. And unfortunately, most of what we have to deal with interaction-wise is sometimes negative or, you know, not necessarily relevant to, like, what the post is. And so it's really nice when somebody has, you know, some kind of sponsorship or partnership that or a product that they've actually curated themselves, which has happened. I mean, when I was growing up, and especially like on the theatrical side, you would never endorse a product. Like, you would be endorsing product in Japan because no one in the United States
yeah.
would
yeah,
know.
You can actually look yeah. up on YouTube old Hollywood doing commercials in Japan or Malaysia
yeah.
or whatever.
And now it was frowned upon, right? Like, you were kind of looked down on, like, ooh, why did he need
out.
The money, you know? And
yeah.
and now you see, and especially like these women that have small businesses and especially, like, you know, beauty and hair care, like in a time when we've just been marketed to by these gigantic companies that might not necessarily have our best interest in mind. Some of these smaller celebrity products are really, like, revolutionary. And they try to keep the cost down, a lot of them. But, I mean, $30 for hair oil is pretty expensive. But
y'all talk about, is that
I'm
one
still
of the
try it, though.
Yeah.
Is hair oil yeah. one of y'all's locker room things?
she knows what I'm talking about,
yeah,
though.
I
is
do.
That if I say to her that I'm like, well, she has very similar hair to me, and she's blonde,
yeah.
and she, I get it. She's got a styling team behind her. But also when I see her papped, right,
right.
when she's just out on the street, and I
when
go.
When you see her what?
Papped, paparazzi.
Oh,
when
wow.
You're
I didn't know that was a thing. I always
locker
thought it was
talk.
Popped.
Yeah.
I always thought it was popped.
No, papped. And
oh.
so when I see that, and she was spotted at a play, and she just looks clean and fresh, and her hair looked amazing. And I think she didn't go out to that play to be photographed.
Right.
It wasn't her play. It wasn't. It's just she was out having a night. And I go, well, she looks great. And I also adore her and want her to have more success. Like, I feel a parasocial relationship to her.
Yeah.
So I will buy her stuff, but I want to make sure it's that they get the credit for it, because that's the reason I'm buying it.
Well, especially you got that verified check mark. So,
yes.
you know, when you comment, it goes to the top.
So
let's talk. Let's go back to a little girl, a little, you know, bad day. Like, come on, give us one crazy emergency that you can tell? Could you tell it without saying the person's name?
Oh, no. I mean, I can tell you an example of what happens because it's happened to all of us. You've said something that you shouldn't say, and then you had instant regret. What do you do in the next 5 minutes? You know, do you back it? Do you delete it? Do you pretend like it doesn't happen? Do you own up to it? We've all done that, you know? I mean, at least I have. I certainly have. It's just when you have millions of followers and your social media becomes news, who you follow, who you don't follow, who you unfollow, that's a big one.
That is a big one.
Or when you chime in on a political or, you know, like the trilogy, you know, you chime in because you're a human being and you have opinions and you have had enough online, which I think everybody has felt that. What do you do? And so that's really where we come in, because I would say that 9 out of 10 times my recommendation is to never delete it, because deleting is like an admission of guilt.
What do you do then? Do you just comment below it?
It depends.
And then it'll be like the next comment because
it'll
be yours.
Or maybe you apologize privately, and then if, you know, you can address it publicly if you need to. But, you know, I feel like we all have been there. And
but if you don't delete it, then doesn't it come back later? Somebody can
always, but it comes back anyway. If you delete it, somebody has a screenshot
of
it.
Every day people delete stuff.
Right. And so that's just not the way to go. I mean, you gotta own it. It's just like life. If I said something to you and it hurt your feelings, even though we could probably move past it, and if I apologize, you accept the apology and we move on, but it doesn't make it not happen.
Right.
Right? And we might be different forever on it. I hope not. But, you know,
well, watch
it
happens.
I know. I'm sorry what I said about Uncrustables.
I'll watch what I say, too.
You ever dropped a client?
Yes. 100.
You dropped 100 clients?
I've dropped quite a few. And the older I get, the less tolerance I have for just people being mean.
They're mean to you? Or just mean to
you?
I
think that there's
them.
Just like a level of certain people that feel that they're entitled to own you. Uh-huh. Or that maybe they're just unhappy and they take it out on us. And
do you find that those people are like mid-level? Or A-listers?
Usually mid, because
yeah, same with
the
us.
A-listers always, like, especially ones that have been doing it for a long time, those are my favorite because they've had peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. And so generally speaking, when they're in a peak, they like know that momentum might come to an end. And so they're like stoked to like keep it going and remain like excited about doing what they do.
Yeah.
The mid who... I would say a lot of times it's the mid person that's like maybe not getting what he or she thinks that they should be getting in terms of like all the things online or
the accolades,
accolades
or the views or the hits or the likes or the retweets or the shares or the whatever.
Yeah. And it turns into the like, why do I even do this? And from my perspective in life, you know, I'm just like, I don't have the tolerance. I'm happy to coach somebody through a bad time because I've been coached 1,000 times. But today, the person that I am and protecting the people that work with me, like this job is so hard. Like you have to be creative. You have to be technical. You have to be analytical. You have to have a sense of humor. You got to know what's going on in the world. But it never ends. So like you have to take time off. You have to rest. You have to get off your computer and your phone and go, you know, put your feet in the grass.
Touch grass.
And, yeah, that's right.
Like so, Lucas, walk around barefoot.
Yeah, and maybe take a picture of it.
Lots of pictures.
They're good looking feet.
Yeah.
He's got hairy toes. He's got a little hair on his toes.
I mean, I do feel like men should have to shave their toes. That's a side note. That's another locker room conversation.
Yeah, really? Guys should shave their toes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, do guys really have a lot of hair on their toes that it's enough to shave?
Big D doesn't have a lot of hair anywhere on his body.
Oh, that's true,
so.
Yeah. D doesn't
look at his eyebrows.
Have first.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
I mean, I do think you could
anything
just...
Anything hair involved
it's
is...
It's a little manscaping, I think, can just be extended to the feet. Yeah.
Let's go with Schaefer. Schaefer.
So what are your experiences having to deal with outside influences or entourages getting in the way or having a heavy hand influencing a client?
I try often, especially for touring clients, people that are on the road, they are strapped for time and resources always, and it doesn't matter how big the tour is, whether they're on a van or they're, you know, rolling with 10 semis. I try to utilize the entourage and bring them to, you know, into our team to help us capture some of those amazing smart. Moments.
Yeah.
But no, that I definitely have had bad experiences for sure of people having a lot of opinions about what's right and what's wrong. And that's the thing, is that a lot of this is subjective. Like, what is success online for you might look different than what I think it should look like. So that's why it's just important to talk about what we think, you know, in the beginning our goals are, so that we can be aligned. Otherwise, it's just like you want to do all the things at all the same time, and that's just like it's never going to happen, and that's how burnout happens too.
Do you have problems with people's spouses sometimes where...
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Well, have you ever had to shut somebody's spouse down?
Yeah.
What?
But my favorite, though, is on the flip side of that, is when we get really good at our job and our really, especially their kids or their spouses, can't tell the difference anymore of like who's doing it. And and then we run into them. They're like, oh, that post that, you know, my dad made. And we're like, snicker, you know, because we're like, we did that, you know. But it helps us to have good relationships, of course, with everybody. But it means something more when a spouse or a kid or somebody closely related to that person loves what we're doing.
In the book, you talk about your story and your journey and all of that. But how much of this knowledge could people glean from just reading the book?
A lot. I mean, everything is like about my... Like I like kind of what I was saying before, I'm answering the same questions now. I'm answering the questions from brands. I'm answering the questions from artists. I'm answering the questions from my mom friends. Like, we all have the same concerns about what we're doing on the internet and how we are going to be supportive of each other while navigating privacy and data issues and, you know, all the double-edged sword unintended consequences of the mediums. And I changed too. Like, when I started this company, I was a young single person, and now I'm like married and I have two kids. And so I have a different perspective about it. But I'm truly hopeful. Like, I remember a time when we didn't have the ability to talk one-on-one to, I mean, you guys have it different. You used to have people that would call in, you would have conversations with them. But from the artist standpoint, unless you were in the venue or you were backstage and somebody told you that, you know, you had a t-shirt that you ordered a medium and they sent a small and, you know, it was the whole thing. Like, now, like, we can make those things right. We can announce when we have new music the way we want to. We're not, you know, just relying on going on a television show or doing stuff like that. So it's like, it's kind of a big honor, you know, to navigate those things. And we just have to like keep it into perspective that like every single day we have the ability to touch somebody's life and make it better. And that makes some of the negativity and the manual laborness of it and the failure. I mean, we fail every day, multiple times. I mean, for every single Crustable video that you make, you had 10 other videos that didn't remotely scratch
100
that.
Other.
Right. 100.
2,000 other.
Yeah. But now you know. So what you do is you plan an Uncrustable post like every 6 weeks. Yeah.
Bubba, I think you're going to have to do this for another.
I was very sad that Uncrustables never reached out to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
for
is
a partnership.
Crazy.
I mean, it would have been natural.
It would have been natural. Their loss.
Well, I think it was because I was doing Roll Your Own Uncrustables. I was taking my own bread and my own peanut butter and my own jelly and all that. Yeah, because
he bought
a little press. It's a press. And it, like, yeah, you put your... So I was using actually like keto bread and all that because I knew the amount of calories. And I'm like, if I eat this, I'm going to have 8,000 calories in there.
Oh my God.
So I reduced the calories down by like 60 per little sandwich. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And that means by the end of the day, I can have one or two more than if I'd have bought the
name
brand.
You know what an interesting lesson that we've just navigated here was, don't admit to the role you're on.
Yeah.
That if we had just straight up kept it that we're eating Uncrustables. Same thing as, hey, I might be using Puffs Plus, but I'm going to call them Kleenex.
That's right.
That's just because that's what we call tissues.
And then maybe I could have gotten a partnership.
That's what I'm saying.
Dang it. But okay. I have to do this whole thing over again then.
But we fail every day, Bubba. That's what I just took. So now we learn.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like letting it sit like that.
Don't screw it.
That's uncomfortable.
Really?
The silence make you uncomfortable?
Oh, I hate silence.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of, there's oftentimes, I love, Dee and I say it all the time, it's like, let it breathe. If a thought ends, you just kind of let everybody kind of ponder, you know, and then.
It's in the movie Clue, when Mrs. Peacock just keeps yapping, and finally Professor Plum goes, do you fear silence, Mrs. Peacock? Yes! No! And that is me. That is me in straight up a movie clip.
You're Mrs. Peacock.
I hate, silence, I'm like, what did I fail at?
Awesome.
Or I'm not interesting, or somebody doesn't have something. Oh, I hate
silence. It's so funny. Like, silence is sometimes a punchline. Like, you can sit there and I'll say something dumb and Big D won't acknowledge my dumbness. And it just, to me, I start giggling because I'm like, oops.
That's the comedy. Otherwise, you're explaining a joke. And there's nothing more unfunny, unless you want that to be the funny, than that.
I did have somebody during a negotiation period tell me that, and I have adopted it in certain circumstances, but where he said to me, when you want somebody to do something, you say it, and then you literally shut up.
Yeah.
Just
stop talking.
That's it. Yeah. And then they'll either come right back to you and say, agree with you, or they'll counter it, but then you'll get into the, you know, to the actual conversation.
It cuts down all the surface stuff that you start batting back and forth during negotiations.
Yep.
And it gets you straight down to the brass tacks, as a old Western timey guy would say.
Do you ever get to put your phone down?
I do. So I put it on Do Not Disturb.
But you also have a team. Hours. So somebody can always kind of reach out to someone, I guess.
Yeah, but like, where do you draw the line? You know, because like I burn myself out so bad that I don't want anybody to feel like that. But at the same time, you know, realistically speaking, we work on nights and weekends. We work on holidays because that's when our most of our clients are working. So you have to figure out what works for you. And it's not a traditional life. It's not at all. But there are certain things that I just won't respond to anymore. I mean, I used to be like, oh, I got to respond to this. And I try to see like how I feel when I get something like that. And for me, I'm a morning person. I am early. I get my best work done from like 7 a.m. to 10. Like that's the quiet time for most other things happening. So I sacrifice a little bit in terms of like sleep and whatnot to make sure that I get those hours to myself. But I don't always react well, like after 8 p.m. I mean, the running joke is somebody be like, hey, I got that check for $1 million for you. And I'd be like, what? I got to pick it up?
Yeah, I know.
You know? Yeah. Whereas like if I respond at 7 a.m, I'd be like, thanks so much. I'll come by and pick it up. You know?
Be there in 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm already.
I'm already
picked it up. Yeah. But we have people in the office that are like natural night birds. And we try to keep at least 2 people on every project so that there is some give and take.
That's so crazy. I mean,
like night birds.
I can't imagine, though, because
owls,
you've got so many.
Shut up.
You've got so many different clients. And so, like, I would think it's almost like something is going to hit the fan every single day.
It does.
Somebody does something dumb or somebody.
Multiple times a day.
Oh.
And it never happens between, like, 9 and 5
it's
on a Tuesday.
It's always 8 p.m.
Yeah. So. Like, that's the thing is, like, our job is to keep calm in those situations. Like, the thing is, I've been doing this for so many years that I rarely get shocked anymore. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I've been through that problem before.
You ever had a client have a naked thing?
Yeah.
And they call you, hey, it's going to go out.
Yeah.
Or it's already out.
Or the best is, like, you know, people like TMZ.
Yeah.
Because they actually, they of all the unscrupulous situations that we have in media, they actually generally give you a heads up that something's going to hit.
Really? So they'll call you? Have they called you before?
They usually call PR, and then PR will...
call you?
Yeah. Yep.
And is that, that's a call that goes straight to
listen,
you.
Listen, they call, they know they already have it. Like, they're not calling because they haven't confirmed.
Yeah, right,
like,
right,
they're
right.
They're very buttoned up. They're pretty, pretty... I don't know what that says about our society, but, like, truly, TMZ, like, kind of the truth.
Well, TMZ, I find that when they post something, for the most part, I trust it.
Right.
That I specifically, I remember Michael Jackson dying.
Yep.
And TMZ was the first to post it. And I was like, oh, no, it's right. on TMZ. That's legit.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird because still,
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
They faked Michael's death. I'm still that whole guy.
Well, that might be a
the...
they, but I mean, but TMZ, oh, yeah. I go, yeah. the fact.
With the license plate being the same?
Yeah.
Bubba?
The coroner van?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you see the person jump out of the coroner van, you go, that looks like Michael.
It is.
But yeah, you get a call like that and it's, you know, this is going to happen. And then it's generally a like, well, how, it's not what can we change or what can we delete? It's how are we going to move forward from this? How are we going to react and how are we going to move forward? And a lot of that is attitude.
So if you say, I think we should do A and your client goes, I think we should do B, do you kind of go back and forth a little while
yeah,
and then
I
you
mean,
do what they do want?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we have opinions and we have experience, but oftentimes the conflict of those conversations are healthy because our clients know themselves generally and they know the people that they have been working, you know, towards reaching all of these years. And so sometimes we're wrong and they're right. I'm happy to be wrong. Like, I mean, I, you know, even something is as important as picking a single, right? Like, I just don't get in the conversation anymore because I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, at
wait,
the end
they
of the
put
day,
you in the conversation of what song should be released?
Yeah, I mean, I think most teams ask their teams what they think. And now, you know, I've always been a marketing person, but specifically on social media and content, there's not a single that gets released that doesn't have a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Very few.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the whole, and you can have too many opinions, of course.
Are there any celebrities that are online that you, that the claim that it's them online, that it's not them at all?
Not that I, not that like stands out to me. I think most fans know that there are teams behind everybody. And I think that most people can tell when somebody has an authentic online personality, because it's usually very exactly what it's like in real life. You know, like we went from taking a situation, taking an opportunity and saying like, hey, what of all the things that we have going on right now, what could we possibly document and share with our audience? Which was a fine way to go about doing life. To, hey, I don't have anything going on. What can I create to just put online in hopes that that will trigger something in real life? That's weird. That's mm-hmm. weird. That's like a, that's a scripted.
Contrived.
Right. And so I think that, like, I'm hopeful that people, I mean, I already feel like most people understand that, at least in their guts, they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hopeful that, you know, through everything that we've all been through on planet Earth, from COVID to elections to media breakdowns to all of that, that we're all getting a little bit more choosy about who we want to be in our phones and our homes in terms of like content that we're consuming. I think that's a good thing. I think that we lose numbers, you know, we lose followers when we sometimes are doing things that are authentic to us. But then my argument back to that was like, who cares?
Do you
like
think
you never had them anyways. If they were so willing to leave you over something that you feel super passionate about, who cares? Bye.
Yeah.
See ya.
I was going to ask you one other thing and my brain just went blank. Do you think we're getting away from the people following a name and where they're just liking the content?
I do.
Like, what's more important?
Well, yeah. I think that sometimes the content isn't mapped to the name anymore just because of the way the platforms work. for instance, somebody's song, like, could be in the background of 1,000 created videos that have nothing to do with the artist.
Yeah.
And so that mentality of seeing the artist image and hearing the artist song together is what makes that like an impression. So even though your song might get used thousands of times, if it's not mapped to somebody's, like, you know, to your, like, if you have no idea what so-and-so looks like, it makes it really hard to be interested in that artist. So when somebody says, I have a song, I have a sound, not even a song. When they say I have a sound that goes viral, I'm like, okay. I mean, awesome for you, but that's like a one-hit wonder. And
I've seen that where people take our sounds, like things, yes, like clips from our stuff, and they'll use it on other videos. And I'm like,
right, like I'm going to create a sound with Carson's Diet Coke for sure is coming. Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine who's in the social media world, she said something really interesting to me just last week about how bridging the gap between a view and a follow.
Yeah.
It's really much harder when you start thinking, how many people do you scroll on Insta, on TikTok, who might show up a lot in your algorithm because your eyes stay locked on them. But have you ever actually followed that person? Because the extra step of clicking on them and then giving them a follow, that it's so much, it sounds weird just to say, like, yeah, all I do is click on it. But in our brains, like, well, no, it's already showing up. It's making that connection. And when she explained really trying to get people to do that how much more of a process than I would have thought. And she said, who was the last person you followed? Not somebody you know,
right,
like, you know, not a friend. She goes, who's the last account, artist, someone that just because you liked what they were doing? And I said, wow, it has been a couple of weeks since I actively went in to hit a follow button.
And I mean, the mentality too of, like, you guys probably have this with your business, but it's like, if you're have a song that's, you know, really popping off on TikTok, the next question that usually comes from the powers that be, whether it's a label, a manager, whatever, is how do we get those people to Spotify? And I'm like, that's literally never happened in the history of media. Like, it's never been like, oh, you have this show on ABC. How do you get them from ABC to NBC? You know, and like, mm-hmm, we had it a little, like TikTok to Spotify. And I think that some of the platforms and have tried to, like, co-mingle in an okay way, you know, with Amazon or Spotify or whatever. But that is the view. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's that, like, that is the interaction. So when you start talking about, you know, things like TV shows or longer form content, and people will want to use the TikTok and the Instagram to post the clips to then tune in to somewhere else. I'm like, you've already asked them one thing already today. You've asked them to watch that clip. So it's very difficult to get somebody to do two things in one day.
Yeah, you're jumping through hoops, and people aren't willing, especially now. We want things done for us. I mean, that's kind of, we're in this automated world. And it would be cool if you could just think it, follow that person.
Right.
Then it would be cool. But, or go to the whatever other app or whatever. It's so difficult, I think, to get people to jump from one platform to the next, to the next, to the next. I mean, I wish everybody who followed us on Instagram and TikTok and X and all that followed our YouTube channel and vice versa. I wish all of that was commingled, but it's not. It's different groups of people doing the different ones because
it's so hard. But here's the thing I will say, don't forget the power of asking. Like, people try to do so many creative things with text, and they try to be like, you know, they don't really want to ask for the follow. But if you know your album's coming out, or you know that you really are concentrating on YouTube, when you make a video, just simply ask somebody to go and follow. You would be surprised. You can't do that a lot.
I wish somebody right now would go and follow our TikTok at Big D and Bubba. And while you're at it, follow our Facebook at
Big
D and
Bubba.
See,
now you're making one ask.
Oh, yeah, you just did two.
Yeah.
Then you know what? Whatever you use the most, just follow us. I think it would be great. Smash that like button.
Can we get away with smash that like button? Can we just get away with that?
Is there any kind of way to just crush
that? Yeah, because
you
guys aren't really like that creepy.
We're not the smash the like button people.
Yeah. Is Gigi Morrison your favorite employee?
She is pretty great. She loves y'all. You know that. You know she was like grew up listening to you. So she's like, "Oh, I'm going to go to Big D and Bubba's today." She was ecstatic. And I was like, aww. "Really?"
What?
I'm just kidding.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, Gigi. Yeah.
She loves you guys.
Gigi, you work for a monster, just so you know.
She knows.
Don't screw it up.
All 12 apostles know.
Yeah.
I keep picturing you guys as the Ladybugs 12 at the Ladybugs picnic.
I mean, we...
From Sesame Street?
We,
oh, wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. 5, 6. I keep thinking of you guys as little ladybugs.
The best part of the day is when somebody was like, "What are we doing for lunch?" And it's like 10. I'm like, yes, this is a group text that I am happy to be a part of.
It's like my parents.
Yeah.
My parents, that's all they did. They wake up and while they're eating breakfast, they're like, "I don't know, what do you want to eat for lunch?" But like, you're not even done with your breakfast.
Listen, they have a Slack channel that I'm not allowed to be on. Oh. So I know, and it's fine. Like, look, you already email me, you text me. I get 1,000 DMs. Like, it's fine. But like, the Slack channel, they're just like, "No, you're good." And I was like, "Oh, so you don't want me to just say it?" They're like, no, we got it. And I was like, okay.
You know.
I know.
You know.
I know.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
Beginning of time.
Yeah. Literally.
Right. Mm-hmm. What is your book called again?
Becoming Gorilla. Jeez.
Spelled GIRLILLA?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I have it right.
You know, when
Carson's wearing the shirt, and
know,
she's not even showing
it's so
it off.
Cute. Oh, sorry.
Look it's at that.
So
it's cute. A fantastic
it
shirt.
It looks so good on her.
I don't know. I think
it's great.
Yeah, we can.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah, it is. It's adorable. I was
I like
so excited
the logo. Who did the logo?
Gigi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gigi.
Yeah. Gigi does all the creative, every single bit of it.
I like the little hard eyes.
I know.
What were you going to say? You were going to say something
about
Jenny.
The book.
What was I going to? Oh, you made me think of something. So when I was here last week and you guys butchered Gorilla, the name, I realized that I hate saying this out loud, but like, you're right, you know?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well,
I can't not say Gorilla.
Right. And that's
I
the
cannot
thing.
Because like, I look at it, I read it, Gorilla.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, when I made it up, it wasn't like that. But now that.
Are you
it,
serious?
Yeah. Because I played it off guerrilla warfare. Right. But it was like girl, and I was like the only one, and it was a whole thing. But now when people see it, they see the girl in it. And so they're just pronouncing it the way it phonetically makes sense. So it's actually right. But it's also like respectful. It's kind of cool that like once it clicks for them, because some people it doesn't click for, they're like, "What does that mean?" I'm like, oof. You know, like if you, like it's hard for me to have a conversation past that if like we're not on that same page together. But now if it's girl Lilla, they're like, oh, and then you see that they're like, oh, I get it. And then moving forward, I can't tell them that they're wrong because they're right. I'm kind of wrong at this point.
Well, we're all right and we're all wrong. And it's great. And you know what? We can all get along because it's the way life is.
Becoming Gorilla. So what do you have a deal with like doing more of these books? Is this going to be a...
I mean, I don't think I've recovered from this one yet.
The look of panic in your face right now.
Yeah,
yeah, I saw that.
I mean, it was so much work, you know, but it was like, I'm proud of myself for making it through and finishing it. But I'm just going to go back to my day job and do some marketing.
What's the point of doing the book?
I really wanted to share the story. I really wanted to drive home the point that we are all connected online and in real life. And I just wanted us to do a little better in how we treat each other. And I thought maybe I could save some people some pain of things that I've learned if I could just like put it out in Cliff Note version.
Well, there's so much to your story, your life, you.
I used to think it was so cool when we first met, like you were fresh off of working with like Yahoo or somebody like that. And I was like, you worked for Yahoo? That's how long ago it was. Like Yahoo was like Google and all of that.
It was great. It was, I mean, that was a game changer. Like that was that I before that I was like a music business domestic person. Then my time at Yahoo changed me to being a person that thought about the world.
It gave you credibility. Because it was like, what? She worked for Yahoo?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so big back then. It was like, think of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yep.
That was the one that they were like, yeah, put all your money in Yahoo.
Do you guys remember you saving me, though? Because when I came to work at our other place that we worked, I didn't understand.
We saved you?
Yeah. Do you remember we had a production and there was like an interview portion and we were doing artist performances online and that was like kind of new. I mean, it was like really expensive at the time.
Yeah.
And you guys were there and I was like, I don't know how to do an interview. Like I can't, what? And you guys did the interview and then we got in trouble.
We did?
Yes. Because I didn't realize that your show wasn't only just on the company that we worked for.
Oh, yeah.
And so then your mugs were all over.
Was that the Rascal Flatts one?
It probably was.
I remember there was a big stink that we did the interview. Like, what?
Yeah, and that you guys weren't that company's soul. Like, you had shows on other companies. Yeah. So, and I was like, well, but it's a great interview, and we're going. It's launching. So, sorry.
I know we did. Didn't we do a Dirks?
Yeah. I think you did Dirks. You did one off camera for me, too.
What's that?
One was on camera, and then I think we got our hand slapped, and so then I was like, okay, well, whatever. Then you guys will just be off camera, but they're a better interviewer than I am.
Oh, we were on camera. We're just off. Wasn't he playing pool?
Pool. At Ocean Way.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, yeah.
Yep.
You know what I remember about that is Dirks just jumping into it. I remember, like, because he just kind of showed up, and we were like, yeah, so we're just going to do some thing. We're just going to talk about, because they had, like, bullet points or whatever we wanted to hit.
Yeah.
And I remember we were kind of off this. Yeah, we were kind of off. We were off camera.
Yeah, you were off camera.
And we never got copies of any of those interviews ever.
And they're very, you can't find them online. It's really hard.
Well, that's because they had their own, what do you call it? Their own little service. And they had their own version of YouTube.
Yes.
And then when that died, all of that content went away.
I know. And it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
I just remember him just jumping in going, you know what, guys? I always like to say, like, well, if you're going to be playing pool, you better have the ball or something like that. And I was like, wow, he just came up with that. How did he just do that?
And then my other memory was just, you know, when I first moved there, like we were all downstairs together and we didn't have any resources. Like if you went upstairs, remember they had like snacks and like a mail room.
Oh, it was
like
ghost town.
Everything. And then like down here, like, it was like, is there any toilet paper in the boys' bathroom? Because we're out, you know, like what's going on?
It was total dorm life.
It was.
It was like a dorm. And we would go down the hall and be like, hey, what are you doing, loser?
Well, because nobody knew what I did there. I mean, like, people were confused. Like, the upstairs people were like, so are you in IT? And I'm like, get out of here.
We thought you were a narc.
I probably was. I was a narc. A narc for New York.
Like, why did they put, really? Why did they put you with us? I mean, it was so weird. But you weren't. You were, like, at the end of the hall.
You're in your own little corner weird thing.
Yeah, no, because my job, I had just moved to Nashville. And then they hired me, and it was right before we did a big rebrand, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
But my bosses were in New York and L.A., and because I just moved to Nashville, I was like, I'll do that job, but I'm not leaving Nashville. And there was no such thing as work from home back then.
Yeah.
So they're like, let me make a call. And then they found the cluster, and they were like, there's one office in the downstairs by the studio.
Wow,
like,
that's it.
And you can work out of there. And I was like, okay. But I just remember my first day, I had a speaker in the office, and it was like, it was to the station.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I turn that off?
I know.
I mean, it's like, it's so hard to concentrate.
I know.
I remember the speaker itself had a little dial on the thing, and Big D has these
Didn't
monkey
I turn
arms.
It down for you?
I was going to say, you got these monkey
arms. I think I went
arms.
In there and just, I didn't get on a ladder or anything.
Yeah, the only time I turned it back on was for the St. Jude.
The radio thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the best.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for being my neighbor again.
And everybody needs to go and check out the book, Becoming Gorilla. I have to say it your way. Becoming Gorilla.
I noticed really on Channel 2 or 4 or 5 or 7 or 10 where you they said gorilla.
Yeah.
Whoever's interviewing you, she said gorilla.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I know the L is silent, but and I struggle with that.
I appreciate you saying salmon. No, you do not.
No, I don't.
Oh my God.
No, but you say yolk.
I do say yolk. Yeah.
No.
That's the egg yolk.
Thank you. Right.
It's yolk.
Says who?
All of us.
Says y'all are wrong.
Humanity.
You guys are wrong. We cannot finish this podcast until
if you get hurt and you have to go to the hospital and you have to call 911 and they send
an ambulance.
Wow.
Okay, I send you an ambulance.
Okay, I'm hitting straight from the dictionary. Okay, wait, hold on. Merriam-Webster, going to them. Okay, so
is Merriam-Webster a person?
It feels like she should be.
It seems like something like she did like, something early on in colonial America.
What was the etiquette lady? Emily Post.
Emily Post.
Was that a real person?
Yes.
Do you know, Shafe?
Merriam-Webster.
Isn't Merriam-Webster hyphenated?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, is it two people?
Oh, it's not Merriam.
There's Merriam and Webster.
Oh.
I bet they had a
okay,
flame.
Here we go.
Yolk.
Yolk.
I hear an L.
No, you don't.
No. Yolk.
Okay. Or.
Yolk.
No, oh, yeah. Just, oh, or that or the other one that's exactly the same.
Yolky. Yolked.
Yolk.
No one's saying yolk,
bro. Say yolk. It's in there. There's an L in there. Girlilla.
Yeah, it's gross.
Girlilla.
See, this is where this comes from. I can't believe you run a company.
What?
Seriously.
I can't believe you guys run a company. Okay, it's like, it's shocking.
I know.
Nobody's more shocked than everybody here.
I'm just saying, we're like Spider-Man pointing at each other. We love you.
Love you guys. Bye.
So, Becoming Gorilla. I said it without the L.
You want to sing along? Don't take your headphones off. Listen to this. This was a podcast, but now it's over.
But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show with some on the radio every day.
Yolk.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big finish.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.